This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
In just a few days, I have an appointment with a doctor. He's a cardiologist. And it's not because I'm having any problems with my heart. I call it my 20-year checkup. Because 20 years ago, I had to have heart surgery because of something that was wrong with me from birth. And it took 60 years for the doctors to find it. So just a checkup, nothing to be concerned about. Today, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're going to take a checkup on our hearts. We're going to be talking about a journey through the chambers of your heart. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. We're delighted to have you watching today. And I want to urge you to stay tuned, because we're going to tell you about a free Bible correspondence course. We all like something that's free. All of us do. And I can assure you this is. This is a Bible course that will help you get to know your Bible. And so we're going to pause long enough for you to learn a little bit more about the course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I want to read just one passage of Scripture to you now from the fourth chapter of Proverbs and verse number 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I think that the human heart is one of the marvels of God's creation. The human heart is nothing more than a very efficient pump that moves blood throughout the entirety of your body. It's a muscle that contracts and relaxes about 70 times or so per minute. And each contraction and relaxation is a heartbeat. And that takes place more than 100,000 times a day. Each heartbeat pumps about 2 ounces of blood, or about 13,000 quarts per day. Now, the heart is divided into two chambers. There's the upper two chambers, the auricles, and there the lower two are the ventricles. And each auricle is connected with the ventricle below, with the valve that allows the blood to flow from the auricle to the ventricle. And it contains a network of nerves that regulate that pumping operation. So the human heart really is just a marvel. And the Bible talks about the heart. And the word heart is used by the writers of the Bible in different ways. Sometimes the writers of the Bible use the heart to refer to our memory, our ability to remember. Like in Psalms chapter 119 and verse 11, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so that's our memory. We have the Bible by memory in our heart. Sometimes the word heart is used to refer to our affections, such as in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, where we're told that we are to love God with all of our heart. See, the word heart there is used to refer to our affections. Sometimes the word heart is used to refer to our ability to understand. This is the way Jesus used it. In the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel in verse 15, "This people's heart is waxed gross, the ears are dull of hearing, the eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." And so the heart used in the Bible is used in different ways. But the most revealing thing about it is that God knows our hearts. There's a passage in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 24, and the way it is translated in the American Standard Translation is that God is the searcher of our hearts. It'd be a very revealing thing, would it not? You know, when we talk about people, sometimes we have reference to their outward appearance, and we sometimes size people up by the way they look. But that's not the way God does things. It is said in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and verse 7, that man does look at the outward appearance. Man wants to see the kind of clothes you wear, the kind of car you drive, where you live, you know, maybe where you work, those kinds of things. How much do you have in your savings account if you're invested any money in the stock market? We will look at the outward appearance, but that's not what impresses God. God looks at the heart. God is looking at our hearts right now. He's looking at my heart. He's looking at your heart. And we talked about the human heart has certain chambers in it. I want us to try to imagine that we are looking through the chambers of our heart. And we come to one chamber in our heart, and it's called the reading chamber. This is where we find what we have learned about the Bible. Now, on the walls of this chamber are these words, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." That's found in your Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 15. See, it is in this chamber of your heart that we learn, number one, how much you know about the Bible and how much you read the Bible. Some people study the Bible on a regular basis. I know of people who the first thing they do when they get up in the morning is they sit and they have a little quiet time and they read the Bible. Some study the Bible somewhat sporadically. They may study it today, and they may not study it tomorrow. They may read it this week, but maybe not next week. And some would have a very, very poor record of what they know about the Bible and how they read the Bible. But we ought to be diligent students of the Bible. But it's in this chamber of our heart, the reading chamber, that we have recorded the knowledge we have of God's Word. It might make us wish, as we look at the walls of this heart and then in this chamber of our heart, that we'd wish we'd applied ourselves a little bit more. And it might cause us to realize why some make very little progress while other people are growing spiritually day in and day out. You see, Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Well, let's move from the reading chamber to the word chamber. And in this chamber of our heart, we find the words that we have used. You know, Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words, you will be justified. See, every word that we utter is important. Maybe the good things that we've said to other people or about other people. There may be some harsh things that we said, some unkind remarks, some critical remarks. There may be some tales of gossip that we have here. You might even find in this chamber the time that you took the name of God in vain. But our hearts need to be filled with goodness. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you want to know what is in a person's heart, that is, what kind of a heart they have, listen to their words. Listen to their words. We can render our faith in vain, our Christianity in vain, if we're not able to control what we say, the words that we use. Words are so important. Oh, they're so important. Words can hurt or they can hinder. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, Solomon even said, there's the power of life and death in the tongue. So this is the word chamber. Here's where we find out the words that we've been using, the things we've been saying. What do you find there? Do you ready to move on? Let's move from the word chamber to another one, and that's the attitude chamber. And here's where we find the real you. I don't know of any way to overemphasize the importance of our attitude. You see, this is what you really are and not what people think you are. This is where you would expect to find the mind, the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. But is that what we find? Someone said that our attitude is more important than our aptitude because our attitude determines our altitude in life. That is, how far we go and how high we go in life is determined by our attitude. But here's where we ought to find the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to have the mind of Christ. That simply means that I need to have the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we make observations in life, and sometimes we observe that some people have everything but the attitude of Jesus Christ. They do not have a very Christ-like attitude. Well, what was his like? Jesus was loving, had a loving attitude. And Jesus even, we're told, loved Judas, who would betray him. Read John chapter 13. And Jesus loved all people so much that he was willing to lay down his life for them. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But Jesus died for his enemies. He died for people that didn't like him. He died for people who actually, literally hated him. But Jesus not only loved them, Jesus prayed for them, and he prayed for their, for that that God would forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus had a loving attitude. He had a forgiving attitude, as we've already indicated. He was willing to have those that crucified Him forgiven, and their forgiveness was contingent upon their becoming Christians, as was evidenced by reading Acts chapter 2. When Peter preached that first gospel sermon, and he told them about Jesus, and that they had crucified the Son of the living God. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When they learned they'd crucified Jesus. And now these are the people that Jesus prayed for. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Theirs was willful ignorance, but they didn't understand what they were doing. And it was on the day of Pentecost, recorded in the second chapter of Acts, that they asked, "What do we need to do about it?" And then Peter told them what to do to be forgiven. And he answered and said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you'll continue reading, you'll learn that in verse 41 that about 3,000 people were baptized that day. And that's when Jesus' prayer, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," when that prayer from the cross was answered. And those people that were baptized, we're told in verse 47, were added to the church by the Lord. So Jesus Christ's attitude ought to be found in this attitude chamber. Jesus was kind. He was compassionate. There's such a great need for compassion in our world today. There's a need for kindness and forgiveness and for love. We need the attitude of Christ. But you see, we're looking in your heart. We're not looking in anyone else's heart but your heart. I'm looking in my heart. This is the attitude chamber. This is where you expect to find the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, are you like Jesus? You see, the Bible teaches in 1 John chapter 2 that we're to walk like Jesus walked. In the years that I have been preaching, I've seen all kinds of attitudes. I've seen good people with good Christian attitudes trying to live like the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen some unkind attitudes, actually mean attitudes, unchristian attitudes. But there is no peace, and there is no genuine happiness for an individual who has a bad attitude, who does not have the loving, kind, gracious attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that not only is there no peace, no happiness, there's no heaven either. Our attitude chamber, what we have in that part of our heart, is so important because it will determine our eternal destiny. Attitude chamber. And then we go to the chamber. I'm referring to it as the recreation chamber, because here's where we find how we spend our leisure time. You know, the Bible teaches that we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. These are the words actually that we find on the chamber of this heart from Romans the 12th chapter in verse 2. So we're not to be conformed to what's going on around us in this world. We need to spend time in wholesome things with our family and our friends. The things that you could recommend to the youngest person that you know. But other people have recorded in the recreation chamber things that they would be embarrassed If the Lord came and found them doing these things. You see, you find things in this chamber, that is how you spend your leisure time. And you find you doing things, and it's recorded the things that you've done that you don't want anyone else to know. And you wish you could leave this room, maybe. I remember on my way to preach somewhere, and I was in the airport in St. Louis, and I had a little layover, so there was a man shining shoes, and mine needed it, and so I stopped, and I allowed him to shine my shoes, and we got in a conversation, and he said, "Oh, how I hate the weekends. I hate the weekends." That's the opposite of what most people say. They say, "I love the weekends." And he hated the weekends because he knew that after the weekend he'd have a hangover. Now, I don't know that that's what you want in this room, this chamber of your heart. We ought to be impressed with the fact that whatever we do and wherever we go and whatever activity we may engage ourselves in, Christ should go with us there. And we might need to listen to what Paul's exhortation was in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, when he said, "Keep yourselves pure." We need to keep ourselves pure. This is what you do in your leisure time. It's in this chamber of your heart. Then there's another chamber. I'm calling it the worship chamber, because in this chamber is recorded the times that we gathered with God's people to worship. And these are words found on the wall of that chamber, taken from John the 4th chapter and verse 24. "God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth." And when we look at that chamber, the worship chamber, we see how many people have had a good record of worshiping God, faithfully worshiping God. There were some who were faithful for a time, but as we look inside this chamber, we see, well, something happened, and they ceased worshiping. Oh, COVID came along, and they stopped worshiping. We're looking in this chamber and we see times that they did not worship God. They gradually began to miss, and their conscience was hurting at first, but now they can miss worshiping God and they can even feel good about it. They even start making up excuses to make themselves feel better. It's in this chamber that we're reminded of the sermons that maybe we heard at times we were in a worship hour. And we see here how we reacted to some of those sermons. We really weren't listening. Maybe you were looking at something on your cell phone while the preacher was out preaching his heart out. But you see, now as you look in this chamber of your heart, oh, how you wish you had listened. Oh, God is looking at this heart, chamber of your heart, and you wish you had listened. But we come to the final chamber in your heart. We're calling it the opportunity chamber. These are the words on the wall of that part of your heart. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You see, here we see every opportunity that came your way. We see that you accepted some of those opportunities. You did good with them. And there were others that you did not accept. You know, unused opportunity is a tremendous mistake of the human race. And there are so many stories in the Bible, illustrations in the Bible to that fact. The foolish virgins who did not use the opportunity they had, and they were shut out of the marriage feast. The one talent man who did not use his opportunity. You see, there are those that have failed in the use of the opportunities to do good. But we're not talking about others. We're in your heart now. These are your opportunities. The opportunity you now have to be the right kind of a father, the right kind of a mother. The opportunity you have to set a good example in your family, to lead your others to Jesus Christ, to lead your children to Christ. One of the greatest needs we have in America today are godly parents who will teach their children spiritual values. Here's where you have, this is your opportunities. This is your heart we're looking at. Maybe you had the opportunity to be baptized, and the preacher was upstanding, pleading for people that were not saved to come and to be baptized into Christ. But you did not listen. We now come to the end of our journey. And as we come to the end of our journey, we know that life is short. We've been looking at your heart. But what do we see? Is there anything in your life, in your heart, that you would like to improve? Oh, you say, Brother Lambert, this made me think about my life. It made me think about my heart. What's going on in my life? And I'm going to improve. Now you have opportunity to do that. You'll not have that forever. Because there's a time coming our opportunities will cease. I want to urge you, if you're not a Christian, to become one by believing in Jesus, by repenting of your sins, confessing faith in Christ, by being baptized into Christ, because Jesus said, if you believe and you're baptized, you'll be saved. That's in your Bible. In Mark 16, verse 16. And he'll add you to his body, the church. I want to urge you to become a Christian today. Can we help you? Call us if we can. And also pick up the phone and call for the Bible course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Reach up and go on.